The Lady Morningstars backed up the court, keeping an eye on the Navajo Eagles players as if circling a herd. The short-haired girl who had collided with Jaya took the ball as it was passed inbounds and began moving it up court, slipping to the left, where Jaya stood with her hands extended, flexing her fingers in anticipation. I walked toward the scorer's table, but then stopped, the color red catching my eye in the stands again. She was there. High in the stands, near the aisle. My eyes strained, but even at this distance I could see it was her. I glanced back at Henry, who was watching the side of my face, and stood to look back along with me. She had a large red scarf over her head, and clutched one side to her face in an attempt to stay hidden in plain sight, but the action had driven her to cheer along with the crowd, and I could now see her features. Henry did too, and stood striding over to me.
"Jeannie."
"Yep."
"Got it."
Like a hawk, the Cheyenne Nation swooped to the steps and began ascending as the girl spotted us and quickly turned, scurrying up the two steps behind her and disappearing into the lobby above. I'd never seen a man move that fast, and all I could think was that I was glad that Henry Standing Bear wasn't after me. With all the effort I could muster, I turned back to the game in time to see number 7, the same Navajo player as before, roll in a pivot and slip by Jaya for a pass-off to her teammate, and then dart toward the basket as she took the return pass, kissing the ball off the glass with a deft finger roll, resulting in a quick score. I tried to breathe, but the urge to run up the steps was almost more than I could stand. I looked up, expecting to see the bear with the girl in trusteeship, but it didn't happen. The Lady Morningstars brought the ball in as the Navajo Eagles fanned out, guarding their opposites, but still keeping their eyes on Jaya as she dribbled up court, pausing a moment before popping the ball to Sweetwater, who tried to heave it to Rosie, who stood in the paint. Black Wolf reached for the ball, but the Eagle center tipped it into the hands of one of her forwards instead, who charged out with it, headed for the other end of the court in a dead run. Jaya had been caught flat-footed, but turned after the girl as if shot from a gun. The forward glanced from the out-of-bounds line for someone to pass off to, but she was so far ahead there was no one, so she angled toward the basket just as Jaya intersected with her, reaching behind and tipping the ball away, then sliding on the gleaming floor as if stealing second. The ball bounced between them, but the Eagle player had to reverse, which slowed her down as Jaya rolled and leapt up, slapping the ball in the other direction as the crowd of players closed in. She hit the ball again, and then followed at mock speed, knifing her shoulders between them without touching and then retrieving the ball. Now only the guard who had tackled her before stood between Jaya and the basket. Without hesitation, Jaya charged forward and slipped past her opponent at a sharper angle for an easy layup, or what would have been an easy layup if the Eagle player had not charged underneath her, causing Jaya to fall sideways and slam a shoulder into the wooden floor. Unable to help myself, I stepped forward as Jaya lay there in a heap. I felt a hand in mine as Vic grabbed a hold of me, not letting me move. Slowly, an arm snaked out and Jaya pushed herself off the surface, stretched her neck, and pulled at her shoulder. The nearest ref blew his whistle and signaled for 2 foul shots. I sighed and then looked into the stands for Henry. Nothing. "I have to go." Vic looked at me wide-eyed.
"What?"
"I saw Jeannie in the sands, and Henry went after her, but he hasn't come back."
"Are you kidding me?"
"No. I've got to go find him, and her." She glanced at the court where Jaya was lining up to shoot the first of the foul shots. "We have to call a timeout, but let her shoot first, please." I nodded as Jaya twirled the ball in her hands. She lifted the ball and shot it as if it had wings of its own, and it nested in the basket with a swish. A portion of the crowd cheered as she lined up for another one, which ended with the same result. Vic raised her hands at the head referee, and he blew his whistle, converging with us at the scorer's table. The balding man looked at us questioningly as I started to speak. Vic didn't look at me.
"He's having a heart attack."
The chief scorer and referee looked at her and then, in alarm, at me. Yep. The ref started to turn toward the court and call the game, but Vic grabbed his arm.
"It's okay. He's had them before."
The scorer interrupted.
"We need to get you medical attention."
"I can do it myself. It's okay."
"We have to get you to a hospital."
"I can drive myself."
"What?"
"I've done it before." I started edging toward the steps and pointed toward Vic. "She can take over for me, honest." The ref and scorer looked at each other again and then back at me.
"Where are you going?"
I'm parked this way." Not waiting any longer, I started up the steps, amid the strange looks from the crowd. Finally, at the top, I stopped at the entryway that led out of the inner recesses of the arena into the lobby, making sure this was the way I'd seen both Henry and the girl go, and then made my way down the short hallway into the outer lobby. Because the game had started, there weren't that many people loitering about, but there were a few at the concession stands and a few more standing around talking in small clusters. I chose the nearest man to question. "Hey, you didn't happen to see a girl in a red scarf run by here, and then a big guy with long hair?"
"Indian fellow, yeah," he nodded. "Didn't see any girl, but the guy looked pretty serious."
"Which way?" He pointed down a hallway to the right and said something else, but I was already out of earshot. There was a row of bathrooms to the right, but I ignored them, figuring half of them I couldn't go in and the other half Henry had probably checked. There was another double door straight ahead, and I pushed it open to find a string of other doors that looked like a row of administrative offices.